Everybody. Wonderful group of young men, and each and every person that's in this room, nobody forced them to show up to yeshiva today. Was anybody forced to come here? Did anybody force you? All of you came because you wanted to. Whatever reason, but you made a decision that you're showing up in yeshiva today. You want to know how profound that is? When a person does something out of his free will, nobody pushed him, nobody brainwashed him. He made a decision to do what he figured out was the right thing. Instead of hanging out in the street, instead of just around sitting home and watching his, and looking at his, scrolling on his phone, he decided he's going to come to yeshiva. He'll daven in yeshiva, at least mincha. And some come to shacharis too, I understand. And they're going to be learning. The sechta they learning?
Makis.
And some are more interested. And some like the Gemara more. For some, the Gemara is a bigger challenge. But they all in all, something, a voice tells them, you guys are better off being in yeshiva, showing up daily in yeshiva. And you made the decision. You made the decision. That's called bechira. That's called choosing. This Shabbos is always the last Shabbos of the year. That Shabbos we lay in Netzavim. Sometimes we lay in two parshas, Netzavim and Vayelech, and sometimes we only read Netzavim in Shul. Very small parsha, 40 psukim. So even that's not the smallest. Next week is going to be the smallest. That's 30 Vayelech. That parsha, this parsha is the parsha that has a mitzvah called bechira, choosing. That's that what separates a human being from all other beings in the world is that all other beings in the world don't have free choice to do what they want to do and not want to do. They're driven by impulses. They're driven by instincts. Comes a certain hour in the day, an animal gets an instinct she must eat. When an animal gets that instinct that she must eat, she can't not eat. You could withhold the food from her. I don't envy you if you try. If you're a farmer and you don't give an animal its food at the right time, there'll be consequences. The animal is not going to behave. A human being has the ability that even if he or she wants something, there's a brain that could give them a cautionary note. You might want it. It might not always be the best thing for you. Don't make a mistake. Choose well. That mitzvah of choosing well is framed in the Torah as choosing life. Choosing well is bocharta b'chayim, choosing life. Making mistakes and choosing unwell, that's called choosing the opposite of life. That's what it says in the pasuk. This inherent truth that a human has the ability to choose well is a pasuk in this week's parsha, the mitzvah saseh of bechira. It's Rabbi Yonah frames it as one of the greatest levels of achievement is a person that lives by making choices that are in his best interest. Bechira. Even when a person doesn't choose well, he chose not to do the right thing. None of us are forced to do not the right thing. We choose not to do the right thing. Those of us who don't show up to yeshiva sometimes choose not to show up. Not because they can't make it to yeshiva. They want to sleep in. They choose to sleep in. Not they have to sleep in. And that koyach, that ability to live by choices that are good choices, is a gift of being a Jew. A non-Jew doesn't have the tools with which to always choose well. We have a power that elevates us to a place that we have the koach to choose well. What gives us that koach? In one word, what makes a Jew have an ability to choose well when all the other people inhabiting the world don't have that ability to constantly make the right choice? One word. I'm looking at it right now. What amazing gift did Hashem give the Jewish people that he did not give to any other nation in the world?
Torah.
Good for you, man. You got it right. I don't know about him. Secrets. I saw you came up and you stepped up to the plate. He was being timid. He didn't want to get up and say the truth. You got up the gut. You had the guts to get up and say it. It's not so fashionable these days to talk about the Torah positively. Not too many fans, but you're right. The Chazal have an expression, Barasi lo la'adam yetzahara. Hashem chose when he made man, he gave him an inclination to be able to do evil. Each person has an inclination to do evil, and he has an inclination to do good. How do we fight that evil inclination? How do we fight the Yetzer Hara? So the Chazal say, the Gemara says, Barasi lo Torah tablet. I gave him an antidote against his evil inclination. That's called Torah. Every time we listen to it, we learn a Mishnah. Every time we learn two lines of Gemara. Every time we learn a Halach and a Sif and Shulchan Aruch. A Pasuk in Chumash. A Pasuk in Tanakh. A Sefer Musar. Any Torah that we take in gives us an ability to withstand temptations that are not in our best interest and to make the right choices. Now, you go interview a person outside of yeshiva and ask him, is that true that every person has the ability to choose to act perfectly? And act properly, and act appropriately? Come on. We have habits. A lot of stuff we can't control. Tell a person to control temptation. Tell a person to control inclination. The truth is, it could be right now, certain things, I don't have enough strength to overcome. But what I could do is plant seeds. And those seeds in time will grow and give me that power. Our job is to plant those seeds. When we're teenagers, when we're in the yeshiva years, we should listen to our rebbes. We should listen to our menahalim. We should listen to the people that are teaching us. Plant seeds to be able to make choices that are in our best interest. Ubacharta b'chaim, ubacharta b'chaim, ubacharta b'chaim. Now let me ask you a question. All of you guys said slichas so far this week? I'm sure at least once. Some of you must have said slichas every day. And if any of you guys are Sephardic, you've probably been saying slichas from a month almost. Any Sfardim in this room? You guys say slichas every day to Chodesh Elul? or you just started this week?
I started this week.
But you never said yet from the beginning of Chodesh of Elul. But many Sfaradim say, you're Sfaradi?
Yeah.
No, this is the first. You're saying the whole Elul in the Shul, in the Sfaradi Shul? Good for you, you're a great guy. So tell me, in every slichas, and many people that daven nusach sfard say it every day by tachnun. Before you say tachnun, before you make the feelings of prime, you say Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu. And we tell Rebbeinu Shalom that he should forgive us on our sins, because ein onu, we're not azei ponim, we don't have chutzpah and audacity to say to Hashem, tzadikim anachnu, we're righteous people, v'lo chatanu, and we never did any sins. No, indeed, aval, indeed, anachnu v'avoseinu chatanu, we did sins. And then we say, go, v'shamnu v'gadu. Every day by Slichas we say that. Sfaradim have been saying that a whole month. Many people say it every day of the week by Tachno. Ashkenaz doesn't, but Sfarad does. Not only Sfaradim, but anybody that davens Nosuch Sfarad, that says it. What do these words mean? I'm standing in front of God, and on Yom Kippur, this is what we do a whole Yom Kippur. At least 10 times on Yom Kippur we do it. We tell Shem, you know, please accept my prayers, accept my tefillah. You know why? Because then I'm not a chutzpah to tell you in your face, God, I never sinned. No, I admit that I'm guilty. Does that make sense? A person stands before Hashem and he tells him, forgive me because I'm being forthright. I'm coming in admitting my guilt. I don't have the chutzpah to deny my guilt. Is anybody in his right mind think he could stand before Hashem and to try to deny his guilt? Which person, 15, 16, 17, 18, 20, which person could get up and say, God, look, I'm a great guy. I could have denied my guilt. I didn't. Does that make sense? Which nutshot could stand in front of Hashem and say, please forgive me because I could have denied my guilt and instead I didn't deny my guilt? Did anybody think of that? You know who asked me this kasha this week? A very great rabbi. He asked me this kasha this week. You know who his name is? Rabbi Milstein. Rabbi Milstein asked me this kasha this Sunday. Anybody has an idea how we're supposed to answer such a kasha? What are you saying to Hashem? We're not azei ponim. We're not chutzpah. Kshei yorif. We're not stubborn to say to Hashem in his face, I never sinned. You never sin? You're crazy. Who doesn't sin? Who doesn't sin? Even a malach, even the greatest tzaddik sins. A kid in yeshiva today, in 2025, never sinned. A kid that lives in America in 2025 and has access to the internet, he never sinned. We're telling that with a straight face. What do you think is the pshat? Could anybody give me an answer? Could anybody give me an answer? I'll tell you what I think. I think that everybody, when he comes to shul on Yom Kippur, or any day, he's not very worried about the judgment. You know why? Because everybody thinks they're doing their best. When you start looking deep into it, searching into yourself, don't we all think we're doing our best? Pick any random boy, and I'll ask him, Do you think that you're trying your best and you're doing your best? And the failures, you're doing as good as you could. And you're doing as best, and you can't do much better than you're doing. So really what you're coming into Yom Kippur and feeling, so I did my best. I can't do better than I'm doing. That's another way of saying I'm a righteous person. I'm doing the best I could do. So the Siddur says you're wrong. The Silichot says you're wrong. You're not doing your best. You could do better. There's nobody out there that can't do better than they're doing. Could they be immediately Moshe Rabbeinu? Could they be this massive tzaddik in an hour? No. Everybody had. But better than we're doing? Much better than we're doing? Much, much better than we're doing? There's nobody out there that can do much, much better than he's doing. But we don't realize that. When we come into shul, when we open a slichus, first feeling is, doing as good as we could. We're doing as good as we could. It's hard. We're living in a tough world. There's a lot of temptation out there. We're doing pretty good for the world we're living in, for the society we're hanging out in, for where we come and where we're heading and what's out there when we leave yeshiva and what kind of stuff we have to be involved with out of yeshiva. We're doing good. We're doing the best we could. And that realization that we have the power to do better is the crux of tshuva. The crux of tshuva is internalizing that we could do substantially better than we're doing, and we got to go for it. Because there is a voice, a little voice within us that tells us, you're doing pretty good. For your circumstances in life, you're doing pretty good. You're doing pretty good. Very nice, but you could do much better. And we can't rest on our laurels. And if till now we came 3 days a week to davening, we could come 5 days a week to davening. And if we kept away from inappropriate stuff X amount of times in the past year, we could double it and triple it in this coming year. That's the truth. And that's what we're telling Hashem. Einonu azei panim. Ukshei oireth. Tzadikim anachnu v'loi chatanu. We're doing the best we could do. No! Avol. Indeed. No! We're not doing the best we could do. And you want to know why else? Not only we're not doing the best we could do, our ancestors, the holy people we come from, whether from 100 years ago or the 300 years ago, even 500 years ago, even they didn't do the best they could do. How do I know? Maybe I'm slandering the earlier generations. How do I know? Because we're still in Golos. Because Mashiach has not come. After all these years. And because the Beit HaMikdash hasn't been rebuilt after all these years. How come? How come we're still suffering? How come we're still wandering from country to country? How come we're still facing anti-Semitism? More than ever. How come the Goyim hate us more than ever? The real reason is because we could do better. And that's part of what Hashem wants for us. We should do better. So if hundreds of years ago Mashiach didn't come, it means they could have done better. And if they could have done better, we have to do better. And what they didn't finish in their lifetimes, we have to finish in our lifetimes. We say in the tefillah of Yom Kippur, like every other chag, Umipnei chatoenu galinu me'atzenu. The reason we're here in America and not in the Holy Land, serving Hashem. And the reason we're not going to do, as of now, Aliyah L'Regel on Sukkot, as of now, doesn't look like it's happening so fast. And Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we're not going to be in the Beis HaMikdash. We only have to bow down in a shul. But not like in the olden days that the Koyanim and the Om were Oimdim Ba'azorah and bowed down. Because we're not there yet. We didn't do enough tshuva yet. Is because Ein Onu as a Fonim Ushayorav Loimalafanechnu Tzadikim. So in a nutshell, what are these holy days all about? Stepping it up. If we did this much till now, we could do this much from now. Who says? The Machzor says. Tzadikim anachnu? No. Chatanu. It's our fault that we're not at a better level. And Emetz Hashem, with God's help, with Siyata Dishmaya, with the good fortune of being in a yeshiva, and having amazing, amazing Rebbeim and amazing Menalin and people that care about us, we're going to go to the next level. And Emetz Hashem, this year we're going to pull it off. And how does Yom Kippur end? With a shofar. And what do we say when we blow that shofar at the end of Yom Kippur, at the end of the whole process? L'shana Abba. Why is the Shana Abba come right after Yom Kippur? Because we're saying, Hashem, I think we pulled it off. That's the message of blowing the shofar at the end of Yom Kippur and saying, L'shana Abba v'Yerushalayim, is all the Jews in all the shuls are telling Hashem, Hashem, I think we pulled it off this time. And that's the way it should be. Ken Yehi Rotzeh.